Well, I want to say good morning to everybody online and everybody on the phone. So we're gonna start an attempt to sing a song. So if you're online and you want to sing along, you're more than welcome. And it's I'll Be Listening. Thank you. Okay, we're going to go to the Lord in prayer before we start this morning. I know there's probably many prayer requests. Keep the ones in the path of the storm and the ones that are sick and all the churches around. Many churches were closed today because of the storm, so a lot of them doing live feed. So let's pray for all them. Pray for everybody that's at home. And we just want to lift one another up, especially when there's a time of need, and if anybody needs anything, then we expect one another in the community to go out and to help and to do whatever is necessary to get people through these times. So if you'll bow your heads, we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, Lord, for this day that you've given us, Lord. We're thankful for the snow, Heavenly Father. We're thankful for the things that we can get out and do, Heavenly Father, to help one another through it, Lord. And we just pray this day as we lift one another up, Heavenly Father, that and we look to thee, Lord, that we just give you the praise and the honor and the glory for each and everything that happens and goes on in our life, Lord. And we just pray that you give us, the Lord, the strength to carry on, to do those things, Heavenly Father, that we know would be pleasing unto thee. We just pray this day, Heavenly Father, that for each and everything, Lord, that is said and done, that it would be according to your will, according to your glory, Heavenly Father, that we would follow after the leadership and the guidance of your Holy Spirit, Lord, and that we'd always be found doing those things, Lord, that you would have us to do. Lord, just forgive us where we have sinned and fallen short of our glory, your glory. Help us, Lord, not to forget to give you praise, honor, and glory for all things. For in Jesus' name we pray, and amen. So this morning we want to talk a little bit about our purpose here upon this earth. Now, whether we're a non-believer, whether we're a believer, doesn't matter. Whether we would like to admit it or not, having a worthwhile purpose in our life is one of our most primary needs, is one of man's most primary needs. So let me ask you this question. Let's start with this question. What do we consider to be a worthwhile purpose? Now, we might have all different kinds of answers to that, but here's what I'm going to tell you according to the Word of God. So according to the Word of God, and it's very clear that no man, okay, no man, no woman, don't leave the women out, no man or woman could have any greater purpose in life than to serve God and to serve Him in such a way that it glorifies Him not only now, but for all eternity. So, and we soon learn that a life that is lived in the world is a life that is ineffective, and it's a life that is fruitless. So, back in the book of Ecclesiastes, I'm going to turn back there just for a minute and read you a scripture. Back in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verse 13, here's what he says. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. And the first thing that he says is to fear God and keep His commandments. Now, that means that we're reverencing God. We're putting God first above everything in our life, and we're being obedient to His Word. Fear God and keep His commandments. And here's what he says. This is the whole duty of man. So in order to have a purpose in life, we must be saved. In order to have a purpose in life, we must be working for the Lord. So he goes on to say, for God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, no matter whether it's good, no matter whether it is evil. So that means our life as a believer is all about glorifying God. But man, we oftentimes want to glorify ourselves. So what do we got to do? We've got to learn to focus, not upon ourselves, because when we focus upon ourselves and we focus upon others, then we begin to envy what is going on around us in the world, those where we think there's just no worldly cares out there, and we don't consider then what the ultimate end of those actions and things are in our life. So if we're not careful, it could cause us to fall under worldly characteristics. We're not no longer following after the things of God, but now we're following after our worldly lustful desires. So in the book of Psalm, let me go read you a verse in Psalm, the 73rd Psalm, verse 3. And here's what this is. Asaph, he probably is the one that wrote this in verse 3. And here's what he said. I was envious at the foolish, meaning I wanted the things that they had, or I thought I wanted the things that they had. I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of their wickedness. So what is it that draws man out into the world? It's usually some kind of materialistic prosperity, whether it's money, whether it's houses, whether it's cars, no matter what it is, that's what draws us into the world. And he said, I was envious at that. And he said, it was foolish to me that they were foolish. Now I'm foolish. He said, because I saw their prosperity, he said, that's what I wanted in my life. So yes, even as believers, I know we're thinking, well, as believers, we wouldn't do that. But yes, as believers, we do tend to envy those who seem to be successful in life. We shouldn't, but we do. So, and these are people who don't care about how they come across their success. So that means that this envy that we have, it's a result of the old sinful nature. But as believers now, as we begin to study, as we begin to pray, as we begin to look into God's Word, we're encouraged to be spiritually content in our life with our salvation, meaning we only want the things that God wants for us. We don't need to have a desire for the things in the world. So if you go over into the book of Philippians, let's turn over there real quick and read a verse of Scripture. In the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verse 11, then he says that. He says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. So what's Paul talking about here when he said, in whatsoever state I am to be content? He means I'm content with my salvation. I'm content with allowing God to provide for me. I'm content with the things that God wants for me. I'm not going to look to the world. I'm not going to look to my selfish, lustful desires in the world. He said, I've learned not to do that. And he said, so I know that I need to focus upon those things in my life. So that means that our purpose in life, and I'm talking about the purpose that God has created us for. I'm not talking about some purpose that we've thrown together thinking this is what our life should be or what it should be all about. It is so that we might glorify God, so that we might have fellowship with God, and this comes through our relationship with His Son, Christ Jesus. So when this happens, then this will bring us into a right relationship, not only with God, the God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, but it'll bring us into a right relationship with those around us, starting with our brothers and sisters in Christ in the body, in the church, in the body of Christ, and then it'll span out to those that God brings us in contact with in our life. So this is, God wants us to do this so that we might allow His saving grace to shine forth. He wants us to show the abundant life, that we now have. He wants us to show that unto others. He wants all of mankind, God's desire is that all of mankind might be saved. So I'm going to take you to the book of Ephesians, and we're going to read down through a few verses here because we want to talk a little bit about, is our purpose, is it a worthwhile purpose? Meaning, is everything that we do, are we doing it for the Lord? So we're going to start in Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to read the first three verses, and then we're going to read a couple more here in just a minute. But in Ephesians chapter 2, starting with verse 1, the first thing that he says is, and you hath he quickened. Now, we're going to come back and talk about that just for a minute, but he said, you hath he quickened who were, listen to this, dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So this means, but before we were spiritually born, that means before we were justified by God, before we accepted His saving grace, we were completely separated from God. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. We can't save ourselves. We still cannot save ourselves. And we were living according to the world. We were unable to act upon our own, even though Lord knows we tried, but we were unable to act upon our own, which means we were unable to please God. Because any time that we're trying to act upon our own self-righteousness, we cannot please God. So this was our natural state. This was our natural state without Christ. We had no life. We had no eternal life. So that means when he says, you hath he quickened. So through Christ, pay attention to this, through Christ, by the grace of God and the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit, we've been made alive. Meaning we died to the sinful nature. We died to that. We've now been made alive in Christ. So therefore, by living righteously for Him, because when we accepted that, then Christ traded His righteousness. He took upon our sin debt. He traded us and gave us His righteousness. It signifies this transformation that has taken place in our life. where God imparted unto us his eternal life. So now we have that hope within us, that hope of that eternal life that he has given unto us. And now he's raising us up together with Christ. So what does that mean? We like to raise our kids up with this, and we raise them up with that because we want them to go in this direction or we want them to go in that direction. God's raising up us with Christ. We're learning, but we're learning together with Christ. We're learning the things that Christ wants us to learn in our life. Therefore, he says, we're quickened together with Christ. So now God has enabled us to walk righteously with him. So that means rather than in the ways of the world, we're learning, we're being raised up with Christ. So now we're walking together with Christ in our life. So in the book of Colossians, let's go to the book of Colossians just for a minute, chapter 1, and we're going to start with verse 12. Here's what he says: giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in life. So in light. So you know what that means? Once we're saved, now God has given us an inheritance with him. We couldn't ask for anything else. Any inheritance, anything that you gain in the world, it's temporary, it's going to go away. But the inheritance that God has given to us, it's eternal. It's going to last forever. So he said he gave us this inheritance, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. That means God the Father hath delivered us from the power of darkness. He hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have, pay attention, in whom we now have our redemption. This redemption came through his shed blood. He said, even the forgiveness of our sins. So what does this mean? This means we can wrap this up in one short statement. God rescued us. That's what it's all about. God rescued us. He saved us from being separated from him, not just while we live our life here upon this earth, but also eternally with him. So he rescued us. He done this when by his Son, Jesus Christ, we were established within his authority into a new and eternal hope. So once God rescued us, once we accepted that saving grace, once we were justified by the redeeming blood of Christ, it said that now it is a declaration of our faith. That's what we declare. We don't declare anything in the world. We don't declare anything worldly in our life. But we declare our faith in Christ, which allows us to experience the wholeness and the completeness of the love of God. And that's what God wants for us in our life. So he changed, when he rescued us, he changed our spiritual identity. That means we went from living in the world, from being ourselves in the world, to living for Christ. So he changed our spiritual identity, and he also changed, pay attention to this, he also changed our destiny. Because when we lived in the world, when we were without Christ, our destiny was to be condemned forever in hell. So he didn't just change our identity, but he changed our destiny, because now we're going to live forever with God, forever glorifying him. So since he changed our destiny, then here's what this does for us. It's all about living our life now according to the standard of our new spiritual identity. God doesn't want us to go back and live according to the worldly standard that we were living under our old identity. He wants us to live now according to our new identity in him. We are now a chosen vessel of God. So that means every action, everything that we say, everything that we do, it should match, or it should mesh with our new spiritual life in Christ, our new spiritual identity in Christ. This demonstrates that now we're demonstrating, we're showing to others, we're showing to God that now we belong to him, completely to him. Not just once in a while when we want to, not just once in a while when things are in favor of going in that direction, but we now belong to him. Every part of our being now now belongs to God. So in Ephesians, let's go back to Ephesians chapter 2. Let's read a couple more verses. And here's what he says. It's starting with verse 4. He says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ." And he says, and he says this on down too, and as you go on down through, but he says, "By grace you are saved." By the grace of God, he allowed us, he gave us this new identity, and he gave us this new destiny in our life. So he says, "By grace you are saved. And he hath raised us up together. He has made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Not with Christ Jesus. We're still here. He said, in Christ Jesus. That means we're being raised up together as brothers and sisters in with Christ. And when he does this, he said, now we're with Christ. We're right there being perfected, becoming more Christ-like every day in our life. So he said he's doing this so that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through his Son, Jesus Christ. So so this means that when we begin to look at this, our spiritual death could only be removed by the redeeming blood of Christ. All right, and we know that. Therefore, that means that's why by grace we have been saved and we have been passed from this death. We've been taken and now we have eternal life. So being alive in Christ, what does being alive in Christ do for us? It assures us of our new life. It assures us of our new life with God, our new life with Christ, or the Holy Spirit indwelling within us. And it's not like the one that we did live when we were spiritually dead. So when people can't tell the difference to whether you're a believer or non-believer, then we're not living, we're still living like we used to. We're not living like we have this new identity and this new destiny in Christ. This is how God wants us to live. So he says the way that we live our new life in Christ, pay attention to this, the way that we live our new life in Christ should be a testimony to who? Not just to ourselves, not just to God, but it should be a testimony to everybody. Everybody that sees us out there in the world today, our new life should be a testimony to them. And it's a testimony not of how smart you are in the Word of God, not about how many times you go to church, not about how good that you think you are, but it's a testimony of how good our relationship is with God. That's what God wants people to see. Everything else, he'll allow that light to shine forth. But people first got to see we have a relationship with God. So how does people see that we have a relationship with God? Well, they see us praying. They see us studying. They see us living our life according to the righteousness that God has instilled within us. They see all this. So there is no, and I know in today's world that we preach and we teach, oh, this little sin's okay, or a little cuss word here's okay, or a little this is okay over here, a little this is okay over here. No, it's not okay with God, because we're not living our testimony like we've got a relationship with God. All of that has nothing. God does not want that in our life. He wants nothing to do with those, what we think to be little sins, that, oh, that'll be okay. But he wants us to start living like we were raised with his Son, Jesus Christ. So that means every day perfecting ourselves. So that means getting rid of those bad habits, getting rid of that foul language, getting rid of all those things that we're doing in our life that we say, oh, that'll be okay, it's just a little sin, and it will keep you out of heaven. No, it won't keep you out of heaven, but it keeps people from seeing that testimony of our relationship with God. That's why God says every moment of every day, not only are we living for him, but we're seeking forgiveness from him because of the things in our life that we do that are not pleasing unto him. Let's go to the book of Colossians for a moment. The book of Colossians, chapter 2. Starting with verse 13. Here's what he says. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. And he said, when he'd done this, he said, blotting out the handwriting of ordinance that was against us, which was contrary to us, meaning contrary, it hindered us from doing the things that God wanted us to do. And it took out of the way, he took it out of the way, and it said, he did what with it? He nailed it to the cross. So that means when Christ died upon the cross, he took that sin debt away. And when he was resurrected from the grave, then he assured us through that, that sin never has to be burdensome to us any longer. But yet, we're burdened down by sinful things every day. So that's why we must ask for forgiveness every day in our life. So being justified through Christ, that means before we were in Christ, we were dead in those trespasses and sins. Our spirit was dead towards God because we didn't have the indwelling Holy Spirit yet. So that means we were not functioning the way God had intended for us to function. So our life, what was predetermined before we were ever put upon this earth, before God ever created man, the first man, Adam, he had this intent and purpose for us. And until we accepted that saving grace of Jesus Christ, we were not functioning in our life the way God wanted us to. Now, some of us still aren't functioning in our life the way God wants us to. So we've got to work on that. This is this sanctification process that we've got to be going through every day. But God, see, he implemented this within us because God saw the need for the perfection in us. We don't see it all the time. We have to see the need to be that perfection, to be perfect as Christ is perfect. But even though he saw it, so that means he provided a way for it to happen. Now, we have to make the choice to do that in our life. God provided a way. We've got to make the choice to do it. We do that through his son, Jesus Christ. So our sins was judged. He said, nailed to the cross. Our sin was judged forever on the cross. It doesn't have to be judged again. So people will say, well, what about one of these days when we stand before the Lord where we're going to be judged according to our sins? No, you're not. The sin debt was paid. It was paid on the cross, past, present, forever. So what are you going to be judged for when you stand before God? You're going to be judged according to whether you were obedient or disobedient to the things that God shows us through his word. We're going to be judged according to our works. Either good works or bad works, we're going to be judged according to that in our life. So forgiveness doesn't just mean that we have freedom from God's eternal punishment, but it means that we can have a living relationship with him right now. We don't have to wait till we go on to be with him and the Lord. People say, oh, one of these days my glorification process is going to take place. It's going to begin. It's going to take place because when God takes me out of here, why can't you live that way now? Why can we not live that way right now? We have right now a living relationship with God. Back to Ephesians chapter 2. Starting with verse 8, here's what he says. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Not of works, nothing that we've done, not of works, lest any man should boast, because we are his workmanship. We were created in Christ Jesus. We were created to do what? Good works, which God hath before, pay attention to this, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Before, a long time before, a long time ago, before anything was ever brought into place, God ordained that we would live our life according to him. So, salvation is available. We know this. Salvation is only available by faith. By faith believing in Jesus Christ. And it's not by believing in whatever church you go to, whatever religious movement you're following after, whatever rules or regulations that your churches might have. This salvation, being baptized by water doesn't take you to heaven. Doesn't say. So we can see all these man-made things. Salvation, it does not depend upon this, but it depends upon Christ said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. So all that we are, okay, all that we are, everything that we have is because of God and God alone. Nobody else. You might say, I worked hard for it, and I got this, and I got that. You have it because God allowed you to have it. Everything is because of God. So that means our goal, and you'll only understand this as a believer. If you're unsaved this morning and you're listening in, you're not going to understand this. You're only going to understand this if you're a believer. But our goal every day should be to live like Christ. That is our goal every day, because that's what glorifies God, and that we should serve Him unconditionally. So that means that God saved us so that we might have a genuine relationship with Him, so that we might continue to have freedom from sin. God hates it when we fall back in and we fall under the burden of sin once again in our life. So this should give us some motivation. Every time we pray, every time we read the Bible, every time we study and meditate, this should motivate us to not only live to become Christ-like, but to share it with others, to share that salvation through the good works that He has instilled within each and every one of us. So let me tell you this. Everything that God creates, so we're talking about all of us, but I'm talking about all of creation as well. But let's focus on every man. Everything that God creates or has created or will continue to create has value. He'd have never created it if there wasn't no value in it. So everything that God has created has value. And this value came into being through the redeeming blood of Christ. So that means He sanctified everything that He created through the redeeming blood of Christ. He sanctified it for His service. So He forms us in the way that He wants us, exactly how He wants us to be. So that means that He does it because he wants us to work for His purpose. Now, it doesn't matter. There's going to be imperfections, and He knows that. So despite of all the imperfection, God knows exactly what He's doing. Even though sometimes we try to do it for Him, even sometimes we don't think He knows what He's doing, God knows exactly what He's doing, and He promised that the work that He began within us, He promised that He would finish it. If we have accepted the saving grace of Jesus Christ, He will finish that work, and He'll allow His light to shine forth through and within each and every one of us in our life. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, last verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 21, here's what He says. For He hath made Him to be sin for us. He's talking about His Son Christ, who knew no sin. Still talking about His Son Christ, because that's not us. That we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Every one of us were created in the image of God. Regardless of whether or not we put our faith in His Son, Jesus Christ, we were still created in their image. So that means that everybody's life has purpose. Everybody's life is purposeful. Everybody's life is meaningful. We all have purpose and we all have meaning in the sight of God who created us. So by faith believing in His Son, then this image shines forth, and now by accepting that, we live in Him and He lives in us. Did you get that? We live in Him, And not only do we live in him, but he lives within us. So that means everyone who has trusted in Christ can be sure that God is able to supply all of our needs. Everything, right down to the whatever it is that you're worrying about right now, this very moment, today, I can tell you God can take care of it if we'll trust in him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. So that means that God will supply all of our needs because we are his workmanship. We were created in Christ Jesus. If we're saved, we're being raised up with Christ in our life. So that means we've been blessed with this new life in Christ and with eternal life with the Father. And through all of this, we can now step back and take a good look and know that our life has a worthwhile purpose. So let me ask you this morning. If you're questioning whether you have purpose or not upon this earth, then you need to get a little closer in your relationship with God. Because everybody's life has a worthwhile purpose. And as believers, that purpose begins to come into play because God now has, we're on the path that he wants us to be, and he's going to teach us and show us and help us to know what that worthwhile purpose in him is truly all about. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, once again, we humbly come before you, Heavenly Father. We're so thankful, Lord, that you have given us purpose in our life. We're thankful, Lord, that we've chosen to follow that purpose. And we just pray, Heavenly Father, that each and every day you would show us more and more how to do that, Lord. So we would pray that everything, Lord, today, right this very moment, everything that we're worrying about, everything that is burdening us down, Heavenly Father, Lord, that we would see our purpose in you and we would trust in you, Heavenly Father, to take care of those things. Lord, give us an understanding of what our salvation and our relationship with you is all about. And help us to know, Heavenly Father, that our completeness is with you and in you, Lord. And we just pray this day, Lord, that for those out there who have not yet accepted thee, Heavenly Father, we pray, Lord, for the conviction of your Holy Spirit, Heavenly Father, upon their lives, so that, Lord, all would come to know thee before it would be everlasting too late. Forgive us, Lord, for we have sinned and fallen short of your glory. Help us, Lord, not to forget to give you praise and honor and glory for all things. For in Jesus' name we pray, and amen.
Amen.
And win today by praising the Lord three times together. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you all for joining in on the phone.
Thank you, Dan.
Okay, have a good day.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
That's the place of the gospel.